Amen. Good Sunday morning to you. We appreciate you listening to the program this morning, and we hope that first song was a blessing to you. That was Sister Angie from our church singing, Keep Your Eyes on Jesus, and no doubt that's what we need to do, keep our eyes on the Lord and trust Him and look to Him. And then we're going to go to the next song will be by the Enlighteners. We played them many times before on the program, and two blind girls from over in Kannapolis, ladies that we enjoy having them sing for us, and they're singing kind of a testimony song of theirs, and I know you know the song probably. It's entitled It's My Desire, and it's our desire to live for the Lord and to serve the Lord, and I trust that you are doing that. You're living for Him and serving Him, and we know that the Lord is not willing that any should perish. He wants you to come to Him, and if you don't know Him as your personal Savior, and serve Him and live for Him. Talk to a lot of folks in these days are discouraged and everything, but we know they can turn it over to Jesus. They can turn it over to the Lord, and the Lord can help them through every situation. And then we're going to go to a message, and we hope it'll be a blessing to you. It's by a founding pastor, Brother Herman Simpson. And we thank the Lord for him and the stand that he took down through the years. And he's preaching a message entitled, Look and See Jesus. Look and See Jesus. And we hope that'll be a blessing to you. But we want to make a couple announcements also before we go to the song and the message. Today's our homecoming, and we look forward to that and look forward to you being with us if you can. And in the morning service at 11 o'clock, we're going to have a Brother Dean Cook preaching for us, and he is an evangelist out of Kayser and has a tent. He brought the tent up to Cherville last year in June, and we're actually going to have another tent meeting this year. We're going to move it back and have it in May, and we look forward to that. We'll make a lot more announcement about that in the days to come, but that'll be May the 10th through the 15th, and we're looking forward to that. But this morning, of course, Bible school at 10 o'clock, and then preaching at 11. Brother Dean Cook will be preaching for us. And then we're going to have a meal that'll follow after that. And then we'll come back to the church at around 1:30, and we'll have a singing service. And we're looking forward to that. Last year, we did the same thing. Last year, actually, we had the Enlighteners that sung for us. But this year, we've got a choir that's going to be with us. First Love Baptist Church Choir from Gaffney. And we're looking forward to them being with us. Our pastor, Brother Buster Griffith and the congregation there are going to be with us, and we look forward to that. And also folk from our church will be singing, and we look forward to a good time in the Lord, a good time of fellowship. And if you're able to come out and be in service with us, we'd be glad to have you in service with us and in all the services. We won't have a Sunday night service, though, but we will have, like we said, the morning service and then an afternoon singing service. And we'll go to the song now and then to the message, and we trust you have a good day in the Lord.
It's my desire bring the message this morning upon this thought, look and see Jesus. Thank God. Listen, the choir's already sung the song just a few moments ago, talking about looking unto Jesus. Thank God. And I'm glad this morning we've got a right to do that, and we need to do that, keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. But first of all, in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2, let's look in verse number 9. Notice what the Bible says here at this time. This is the writing of the Apostle Paul as he wrote this letter to the Jewish believers. And notice what he said. He said, but we see Jesus. Thank God. I'm glad this morning that you and I, as a child of God, that's who we should be seeing at this moment. We see him above all others. And I know there's many today, if we're not careful, we get our eyes upon this world and upon characters of this world, or maybe people that's popular, maybe different ones. But you know what? We find that Paul said here to the believers, the Jewish believers, he said, but we see Jesus, notice what he said, who was made a little lower than the angels. Now think about that, the Son of God. For a brief moment in his life, he was made just a little lower than the angels. And the Bible said in the Word of God, he's made a little lower than the angels. Notice in the reason for it, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, notice the reason that he should taste death for every man. Now that's the reason this morning, the primary reason that he is made just a little lower than the angels, that he may taste death for you and I, that he could die for your sin and my sin. And then if you would turn with us just briefly, in the book of Hebrews chapter number 12, along about verse number 1, Paul again, as he speaks to these believers, he says this, he said, wherefore seeing we also were compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and notice what he said, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now they tell me, as I was studying upon this, we looked maybe in a couple of commentaries to get just a few thoughts from this, but the Greek or maybe the Romans, when they had their race, they took their eyes off of everything else around them, and they fixed their eyes upon the finish, or upon the finish line, if you will. And brother, that's what they kept their eyes upon till they crossed that finish line. And I believe this morning, my friend, you and I, as a child of God, as we look to Jesus this morning, as we see him, our brother Scott, we need to get our eyes off of all these other things that the world has to offer. And brother, we need to get our eyes fixed upon the Lamb of God. We need to get our eyes fixed upon crossing that finish line for the glory of God. Now notice verse number 2, the Bible said in the Word of God, it said, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Notice what it says again about him looking unto Jesus. It said, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank God he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. The Bible said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and was set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So this morning, may the Lord add his blessings unto the reading of the Word of God. As we've already said, this morning we'd like to bring the message today upon this thought, look and see Jesus. Just a few things we'll point out to you this morning as we think about looking unto him or looking and seeing Jesus. First of all, I'd like to say this. When I look and see Jesus, I thank God. Listen, I see a life that was given. Now, he gave his life. We find in the book of John, chapter 10, and verse number 11, the Bible speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the good shepherd. Thank God, I'm glad this morning. Listen to the psalmist David. He made this statement in the 23rd Psalm. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And I want you to know this morning, my friend, just as David, I made that statement that the Lord was his shepherd. That don't make him no less my shepherd and your shepherd. Thank God I can make the same statement this morning, our brother Larry, that David made, that the Lord is my shepherd. And here we find in the Word of God, as we look and as we see Jesus, thank God I see a life, our brother Leroy, that was given. Notice what he said, John chapter 10 and verse 11. He said, I'm the good shepherd. Notice he said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The sheep, that's you and I. Thank God I'm glad that no man took his life. Listen, we find in the Word of God, the Bible tells us how that he laid his life down. We find in the Word of God as he hung there on the cross, the Bible said that he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Nobody took the Son of God's life, but he willingly laid his life down. No one was able to do that, but he gave his life. As I look and I see Jesus this morning, thank God, I want you to know I see a life that was given. I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, we find as we think about a life that was given, the Bible makes clear that he gave his life freely. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and verse number 2, as Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, we find that Paul says to the believers there, he said, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us. And notice what it said, and has given himself for us. Yes, he gave his life for you. He gave his life for me this morning, for each one that's here today. Thank God that's the one that he died for, not only for you and I, but for the multitudes out there that's lost and out in sin. And if you would by chance be here this morning, and maybe you've never trusted him, maybe you've never accepted him as Lord and Savior, I want you to know this morning, my friend, listen, God has given his life. He's given his very best. God sent his Son. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we find this morning how that he gave his life freely. And so the Bible said, has given himself for us. It said, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Thank God I believe that when Jesus Christ, listen, the Bible tells me that Jesus was our propitiation. In other words, when Jesus gave his life there on the cross for the sins of sinful man, God was completely satisfied with that sacrifice. Yeah. Brother, we look in the Word of God. We look in the Old Testament under the old economy, under the law, if you would, and we find all the sacrifices was given, all the blood that was shed of the bulls, the goats, and the heifers, literally millions of them up to the time Jesus Christ came. And thank God, I believe, when he hung there between heaven and earth, and Brother God looked down and he seen the blood that was shed, the sacrifice that was given, Brother, I believe, for the first time since the first sin, Brother, I believe God was satisfied completely for the offering that was given there that day. Thank God the Bible tells me that he gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice unto God. You know, God expects payment for sin. And my friend, this morning, listen, that's one thing. This morning, as we just stated, God expects payment. God demands payment for sin. But I want you to know, my friend, if you're here today and you're lost without God, listen, there's nothing that you have that you can give. Oh, friend, this morning, listen, the Bible said, come without money, come without price. Ah, today, friend, listen, Christ paid for your sin. And we find in the Word of God, the Bible tells me that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. If man is to come to God, they're going to have to come through Jesus Christ. Ah, brother, we've got many today. They're trying to climb up in many different ways. But my friend, the Bible tells me that any man, and that's speaking in general, any man or any woman that try to climb up into the kingdom of God in any other way than rather through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's worse than a thief and a robber. Brother, I find that they're not going to be in heaven. Ah, friend, this morning, listen, we need God. Look, and what do we see when we look and see Jesus? First of all, we see a life that was given. We find again in John 10:18, speaking and showing us how that he gave his life freely. We find that Jesus made this statement. The Bible said, no man taketh it from me. We accredit Rome, or maybe the Jews, with taking the life of the Son of God. Listen, they was not capable. They was not able to take the life of the Son of God. My friend, listen, he literally lay it down. He gave his life for you and for me this morning. No man taketh it from me. But notice what he said. He said, but I'll lay it down of myself. So it was his doing. It was his choosing. It was a gift that he gave unto man. So no man taketh it from me, but I'll lay it down of myself. He said, I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it again. Yes, we find how that he laid his life down. He literally died, and he was buried for 3 days and three nights. We find how that he is in the grave or in the tomb. Thank God on the third day. Listen, the Bible tells us here in the Word of God, Jesus said, I lay it down on myself. He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Thank God on the third day, he rose again victoriously over death, hell, and the grave. And I want you to know this morning, and listen, thank God I'm glad that he's still alive and that he sits under the right hand of the Father. And the Bible tells me that he ever liveth and he makes intercession for you and I. And so this morning when I look and I see Jesus, I see a life that was given. He gave his life freely. Also, we find that he gave his life, not only did he give his life freely, but he gave his life for everyone. We go in the scripture. We find Paul, the one that wrote these letters that we've read out of this morning. The Bible makes me know that Paul was nothing but a blasphemer, nothing but a murderer, and my friend, a persecutor of the church of God. But yet we find how on the road to Damascus, listen, we find how that he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find how that this a blasphemer and murderer, how that he found God, and he'll do the same thing for you. Brother, we look in the Word of God this morning. We find the harlot. Brother, we find the woman that had been married five times and living with a man, but how she found the Lord, and the Lord told her to go and sin no more. Or rather, the woman that was taken in the very act of adultery, how the Lord told her to go and sin no more. a woman there that had taken on five husbands, and we found out as she come to know a Christ, she went and said, come see a man that told me all that ever I did. It's not this the Christ. Oh, friend, this morning, listen, when I look and I see Jesus, listen, I look and I see this morning, my friend, a life that was given. Yes, he gave his life for everyone. Matters not this morning what our sin may be. Brother, we're living, I believe, in a society today that's further away from God than any generation has ever been. But I want you to know this morning, my friend, regardless what your sin may be this morning, thank God we're still serving the same God, and he's still saving from sin today in the same manner that he did back many years ago. As we said just a moment ago, my friend, how did I look back in my life and I see the horrible pit that he brought me out of. And as I told the Sunday school class this morning, brother, it wasn't a pit this morning, the snakes and spiders and reptiles and lizards, but thank God it was a pit, my friend, of drunkenness and a pit of blaspheming and what have you this morning. That's the pit that he brought me out of. Thank God I'm glad this morning that he set my feet on a solid rock. And I want you to know he'll do the same thing for you this morning. We see Jesus. He gave his life for everyone. Hebrews again, 2:9, our text scripture, the Bible said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Notice what the Bible said, that he might, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Thank God I'm glad that he done that. When I see Jesus this morning, thank God I see, first of all, I see a life that was given. Let's look at another thought. Not only do I see this morning the life that was given, but when I see Jesus, thank God I see this morning a love that was God's love. We think about love. We're living in a society today, brother, that's all they've got on their mind, love. But brother, they've misinterpreted that love, and the love they're speaking about is nothing but ungodly lust. Brother, I'm talking about the love of God here in the Word of God. Brother, when I see Jesus, brother, listen, when I look and I see Jesus, I see a love that was God's. In the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 16, this is 1 John 3 and 16, the Bible said, hereby perceive we. That word perceive is speaking about how that we know. Thank God there's some things this morning that you and I, as a child of God, we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Listen, thank God I'm like the blind man that we studied about this morning. Brother Larry, I once was lost, but thank God now I see. Thank God I was blind. I was in darkness, but I was brought out of that darkness into his marvelous light. Brother, a lot of things, I'm like the blind man, a lot of things I don't know. Brother, he didn't know at that time whether the Son of God was a sinner or not. He said, I don't know. He said, but there's one thing I do know. He said, I know I was blind, but now I see. Thank God we can know some things. And here in the Word of God, as we think about God's love, it said, hereby perceive we, or we know. The Bible said, hereby perceive we the love of God. Listen, when I look and I see Jesus, I see a love that was God's. Listen, we perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Oh, friend, this morning, listen, we were to go above and beyond measure for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And brother, we were to go above and beyond measure for the very Son of God. We sung the song this morning in the opening exercise, I believe, glory to his name. Brother, I tell you this morning, because of what he done for you and I, brother, all honor and all praise and all glory belongs unto him. So listen, we see a love that was God's when we look and see Jesus. Notice about three things. First of all, the world that he loved was ungodly. Did you know that? When God looked down, listen, we find even in the book of Genesis, brother, how that man had corrupted his ways, and we find that God looked down and he seen that every thought and every imagination of man was evil and continually evil. And the Bible says it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. He's looking down again in this world that we're living in, and again, every thought and every imagination of man is evil and continually evil in this hour. Thank God I want you to know yet. Rather, we look and see Jesus, we see a love that was God's. And the Bible makes me to know that the world that he loved was ungodly. Romans 5 and 6, the Bible said, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Brother, a lot of times the religious crowd, brother, we think that we're the only ones God ever died for. Brother, we get a little high and get a little proud and get a little mighty, if you will. And brother, we begin to look down our nose maybe at that rank sinner. Friend, listen, the Bible said, and such were some of you. Brother, I can't look down on that drunk and on that harlot when I look, brother, from where he brought me from. Brother, I've got to look and see Jesus this morning. The Bible tells me the world that he loved was ungodly. Also, the Bible tells me the way that he loved was unconditional. You know what? God loves that sinner unconditionally. Now, he don't love the sin, that sinner's in. And even you and I as a child of God, when we sin and we do sin and come short of the glory of God, listen, God loved the saint, but he don't love the saint when he sins. He don't love the sin of the saint. Here this morning we find in the Word of God the way that he loved us unconditional. The Bible said again, come without money and come without price. He don't put any condition on it. He just asks you to come. We find here in the Word of God again, as Paul writes to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 2 and 4 and 5, the Bible said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, speaking about the great love of God. When I look and see Jesus, I see a love, and that love was God's love. The Bible said, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ by grace. That word grace is interchangeable with the word love. By grace or by love are you saved. Yes, we're saved by the grace of God. Listen, the love also, the love that he gave, not only was it unconditional, but it was unmerited. In 1 John 4 and 10, the Bible says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. You know what? We couldn't merit. We couldn't earn the love of God. According to the scripture, the Bible said again, herein is love, not that we love God. You see that in the beginning, we didn't love God. We didn't care anything about him. Before I was ever saved, I didn't love God. I didn't want to be around God. I didn't want to be around his people. But now we find the Bible said in the Word of God, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Why are we saved this morning? It's not because of anything we did. It wasn't anything because of our love. It was because of the love of God. For God so loved the world, that world is you and I, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the Bible said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the satisfaction for our sin. As we said just a moment ago, when Christ hung there between heaven and earth and gave his life, God looked down and for the first time, he was satisfied. Thank God, I'm glad as he looks down today in the blood. Oh, what shall wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus is still the blood this morning, my friend. And when God looks down upon sinful men, and my friend, he looks on the blood, he's still satisfied with that offering. And sinner friend, this morning, listen, if you don't know him, you're going to have to come under the blood. You say, but preacher, I don't like the blood. Well, you're going to die lost and in your sin. Oh, a lot of people, they don't like this slaughterhouse religion, but my friend, this morning, it still takes the blood, amen. Still takes the blood. So when I look and see Jesus, first of all, I see a life that was given. I see a love that was God. Then the next thing that I see this morning when I look and see Jesus is simply this. I see a Lord that was gracious. Thank God, I'm glad for you. Listen, I'm glad this morning. That word gracious talks about kindness. It talks about compassion. If you'll study the life of Christ, many of those, and he dealt with a common man. I mean, he dealt with fishermen. He dealt with those that just street people, so to speak, the common man. But you know what? Many times, you know, when he fed the 5,000, I believe it was, they had to be poor. They weren't able to feed themselves, so he fed them. But you know what? The Bible said he looked upon that crowd, and he had compassion on them. Ah, listen, he looks upon you and I today. He looks upon this world that we're living in today. And my friend, this morning he looks down and he sees a poor and a needy sinner, and he's got compassion today. When I look and I see Jesus, I see a Lord that was gracious and is still gracious even in this hour. Psalms, David said in the book of Psalms 103 and verse number 8, he said, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Thank God we talked last Wednesday night about the mercy of God. David, when he had sinned, and David was a man after God's own heart. But brother, I tell you what, when the Holy Spirit of God convicted David of his sin, we find that David cried out. He said, Lord, have mercy on me. And my friend, this morning, before David ever named his sin to God, it wasn't that God didn't know, but we find that David realized, I need your mercy. And sinner friend, this morning, regardless whether you're saint or sinner, we need the mercy of God. We need the graciousness of God. We need his kindness. We need his compassion. David said, Lord, he said, before you, I've sinned. You know, a lot of times we sin, and we know we sin, but you know what? We thank God, don't we? Well, we hide it from the church. We hide it from the preacher. We hide it from the husband, from the wife, and from the children. And all of these, we think nobody don't know. But David said, God, he said, it was you that I sinned before.
You've been listening to the Gospel Way broadcast, heard here on WCSL. We can see that our time has come and gone again this week, but we appreciate those of you who've gotten up this early hour to tune in to the Gospel Way broadcast. May God bless you from doing that. We would like to extend a cordial invitation to you and your family to join us for worship at the Gospel Way Baptist Church. We're located on Highway 274 South. As you leave the city of Cherville, right at the city limit sign, our church will be on the left-hand side of the road. Our Bible school starts each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, teaching out of the King James Version of the Bible. Around 11 o'clock, our choir begins to sing, and then after that, an old-fashioned message is brought from God's Word by our pastor, Reverend Keith Lindsay. Our Sunday night service starts at 6 p.m., old-time singing and preaching, and then back again on Wednesday night for the midweek prayer service. We hope that you'd come and join us for one of these given services, and what a blessing it would be for us to see you. So until next week, at the same time, on the same station, preaching the same gospel, this is Pete Kraft of the Gospel Way Baptist Church, giving you the advice to keep looking up as a Christian, because Jesus may come today. May God bless you, is our prayer.